This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 254. What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, stuff and things. Things and stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you know, earlier you mentioned how it's supposed to be up to 61 degrees, 60s on Friday.
Yeah.
And did you know the low on Thursday is 45?
Isn't that great?
And the low on Wednesday is 36. So we're going to have a couple of days where 24 hours a day, it's going to be above freezing. You know how great that is for melting? Freezing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to melt. It's going to rot. I feel like spring is in the air. The vaccines are rolling out fast and furious. Like, I feel like the world is opening up again for the first time. We're coming up on a one-year anniversary, and yeah, I'm stoked.
My wife's bakery is doing really well, actually.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, I've heard that your wife has some hot buns.
Hey, now, let's not get inappropriate.
On this podcast?
That's not us. Oh, well, indeed.
So, did you watch some stuff this week?
I watched a few things, you know. I honestly did not watch a ton of stuff, but I did watch a few things.
I did as well. Nothing like that I'm super stoked, excited, screaming at the top of my lungs for. But, you know, watched some stuff. Had some disappointments, had some okay times.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
One or two surprises that were like, wow, this is remarkably good. And a few that were like, oh, this is not good.
All right. Let's discuss.
Okay. I got to bring up my IMDb because some of these, like, I watched right after our last recording. And so they're not as fresh in my head.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Oh, hell yeah, I do.
Go through a week of, you know, just friggin' watching stuff and stuffing and watching. And
yep, I do indeed. I know what you mean.
So why don't we jump in with The Rookie? Does that work for you?
All right, what was that one about?
That's what I'm looking up. Oh, this was the weird one, True Crime.
Oh, yes. All right. That's the one where you messaged
Take two.
Messaged me. There we go. I knew if I stopped and enunciated, I could say the word. That's when you messaged me about, like, how...
It felt like it aired out of order.
Yes, aired out of order. Thank you. The girl that's the pregnant one who's in the detective. Diaz. All I could think of was Ortiz, and I knew it wasn't Ortiz. How Diaz was back in uniform and everything, and it was because at the beginning, it opened up with what's-his-face? West, and it said December 2019. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, no, this was a very interesting one.
Interesting. I'm looking at IMDb right now, and it got like a 3.7 rating.
Oh, see, I really liked it though because it was different. It was unique.
Yeah, it was cool. It had a different kind of twist to it. It did feel really weird being out of order like that. Like, I don't know if maybe they sat on it and they decided now was the time to put it. You know, like, maybe when this was originally supposed to air, we were having cult issues, and so they were like, ooh, let's not do that.
See, my thing about it is I looked at it like this. You know, when you do these documentaries, it takes a while for them, once they film them, to produce them and release them.
Right.
So that was kind of my thought process of it.
Yeah.
And so because of that, they didn't really, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I liked it. What was it? Frankie Muniz Jr. was a child actor who grew up to not be so good at other things and basically started a cult. And they tied it back. Because, see, they tied this back to the day that remember that text came out with the accidental thing saying a nuclear warhead was heading for L.A.? So that was like 2 seasons ago. Yeah, that was like 2 seasons ago. So I just kind of look at this as in it's just now being released, this documentary that they made.
The only problem that I have with that, if that was really 2 seasons ago, then that's when Nolan had his original TO that left the show.
Oh, maybe it wasn't two. Maybe it was last season then.
It must have been last season because, yeah. But, yeah, I loved the little behind-the-scenes commentaries. Rainn Wilson playing Rainn Wilson, who, you know, lost the mummified body of Charlie Chaplin, which wasn't really Charlie Chaplin because, you know, there's a big fake industry out there for mummified celebrities.
Yes. Although, if you remember West in the last episode, we found out that West and his boyfriend had broken up.
And now we
but they didn't go into detail. And this episode explains what happened with them.
Yeah. Which was odd again. Either good storytelling or something they were sitting on. Either way.
Yeah. Well, the show doesn't come back until March 28th.
Right.
So, and the production code on it is 312, which makes me think that this was supposed to air later in this season.
Hmm. Yeah, because the one when we come back is episode 8.
Yeah, and typically the production code is, and they didn't air episode, production code 306 didn't air. Typically the production code is the number of the episode with the season in it. So.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it as a whole. I liked that it was Frankie Muniz wrote this script and no one was interested in the script. And his co-star from the show wrote the script with him. So he actually started the quote unquote real cult based on his script. I'm guessing to try to sell it. But then when she blackmailed him over it all, you know, his mother killed her. I mean, I don't know. It was just absurd. What I liked about it, though, is that we didn't get Nolan in some absurd over the top scenario
superhero,
like being kidnapped by a guy with a bomb because he randomly went up to that truck. So, but yeah, I appreciated it.
Yeah I enjoyed it for what it was. It felt a little off to me, yes, but you know overall I enjoyed it.
What'd you think of Superstore this week? Just thinking I'm looking forward to the series being done.
I am. Yep. This one wasn't quite as bad as the last one with the depositions.
Right.
We only got that weird awkwardness with Mateo and Amy's parents. And
yeah.
It wasn't as bad as it could have been. There's still the sexual tension between Dina and Garrett. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It feels like this definitely felt like the episode where they realized that they were getting canceled, so it was time to start wrapping things up.
Because
people started acting like they were, you know, Mateo's going to get married after all, and, you know, Glenn is talking about moving on, and everybody's kind of like wrapping up their stuff.
Well, there's really only 3 episodes left, and technically 4, I guess, because we've only got the see, today is the 8th. We have the episode that airs this week, and the 11th, and then the 18th, and then the series finale is a 1-hour episode on the 25th.
Gotcha.
So it'll be done this month.
Yep. And I'm happy about that.
Yep.
I'm ready.
I caught up on the unicorn.
Okay.
We had to watch 3 episodes.
Yep.
Yeah,
we had a big move, In Memory Of, and then the most recent one, which was... crap, I forgot the title of it.
Yeah. So big move. I was kind of sad about that. So far away.
Yeah. So far
away. That was the most recent episode. So the big move is basically Wade helps Shannon's ex-husband get a job.
Get him out of the house.
Yeah, through Forrest's work. So yeah, to get him out of the house, and he finds his dream perfect job, but it's in Asheville, which is 4 hours away.
Yep.
So he takes the job because like, oh, we can make it work. And then now Shannon can't afford the house and the power bill is too high and they got to downsize and on. So Wade is convinced because he loves her and he ends up kind of babysitting her son for a couple days and his girls like her and like him and everything. And ultimately he's about to ask her to move in. But when he goes over to do it, she's like, the son's like, I miss my dad and on and on. And she has family in Asheville. Her sister lives there. So he tells her to go move there.
Yep. And I like how they addressed it where she was like, you know, I thought for a second there, you were going to ask me to move into your place. And he's like, I was. And she's like, I would have said yes. He goes, I know you would have. And she's like, it would have been a mess. And he's like, yep, it probably would have.
I really appreciated that as well.
Yes.
I really did.
It was a grown up thing to do.
Yes. Then we got a memory of, which is a murals being painted on the school about Wade's wife and, you know, obviously his kids' mothers. And we have like this episode where they have talk about memories of their mom and his wife, and the youngest, Natalie, can't remember things, and she's afraid she's starting to forget mom.
Yep.
And the mural was because Michelle and Delia worked together. You know, Michelle helped raise the money, and Delia had the inspiration, and the art teacher for the school painted it. And when they got a sneak peek of the mural, it was horrible. I think my favorite reaction was Delia's like, they pay her to teach our kids art, you know, right? and I just love how bad they say it is. And then when they all finally see it at the end, everyone's like, oh, and Delia's like, it's even worse somehow. But Natalie, on the other hand, loves it. Because even Grace, the older daughter, thinks it's not very good at first. But Natalie even now loves it because she's like, oh, the Phantom Toll with mom's favorite book. Oh, look, and there's the painting concludes
the
so many.
That she always talked about.
The T-Rex. Yeah, had so many great memories of her mom.
Right.
And so she was looking beyond
just the art style and actually seeing the messages in it.
Yes. And she made everyone else appreciate it. So I enjoyed it. It was like a wholesome family feel good moment that we don't have in TV shows like sitcoms anymore.
Yep.
And then So Far Away, the most recent episode is essentially Shannon and Wade's breakup because the long distance thing isn't working out. They can never attempt to get together.
Yeah. And it was kind of brutal to watch them throughout this episode, like try to connect, but there was always something, and it was never like farcical. It was real life stuff, you know.
Yes.
It was the girls got a choir practice or a choir recital that day, so I've got to go to that. Oh, okay, you know, that makes sense. That's not like, oh, I got a flat tire.
Yep.
It wasn't like farcical. It was real life stuff that was getting in their way, which made it even more brutal.
They did make it silly when their dog, who's never been an issue throughout the whole season, decides this episode to eat the strangest things and eats a corn cob. So now he may have to cancel because he may have to take his dog in for surgery, but she passes it. So they end up meeting at a diner, which is in the middle, like 2 hours away from each other.
Yep.
And they go and they sit and they have food and they like it. And then they got to leave now. And she's like, oh, we can try and make it work. Well, not this week because of this. And, you know, not this and da, 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 da. And he's just like, so he says, they're like, I just want to thank you. And his message of basically saying, I didn't think I'd ever be able to love again, but I realize I can. And I'll always appreciate that. And she's like, why are you saying that? He's like, well, just in case the next time we're supposed to get together, we can't. I just want you to know that. And, you know, she's like, well, I don't want to say goodbye. And he's like, we don't need to say goodbye. We'll just plan to get together again and hopefully it'll work out. Yep. And then she gets in her car and leaves and he says bye. So it was really sad.
It was.
But
it
the premise of the show is that he's a single dad and he's the unicorn who everyone wants to be, who wants to date and be with, because, you know, he's like the perfect guy because he wasn't divorced. He was widowed. He has a good job. He's a responsible. He's a good dad. That's what makes him the unicorn. If he's dating somebody or in a relationship, then he's not the unicorn.
Right. This episode resonated with me quite a bit. I'm not as bad, but, you know, as you know, I'm in a relationship right now where we live an hour away from each other.
Yeah, so, as I was watching it, I was thinking that.
Yeah, so it's the same kind of thing. Like I said, you know, we have 2 days out of the week that we can manage to get together. And then this last week, she was sick one of them, which I felt bad. But at the same time, you know, that's it. We've now lost an entire week. When we see each other on Wednesday, it'll be a week that we've seen each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a relationship, that's kind of rough. Like,
yeah, it is.
So I related to a lot of this. Again, neither one of us has kids, so we don't have that going for us. We're not a 4-hour ride apart. We're a 1-hour ride apart. But yeah. I still could relate to some of it, and I recognized it, went, ugh, I don't envy them in this respect.
Yep. No, I didn't envy them at all.
So there's two episodes left. The next one's called Out with the Old, and the final one is called Put Your Mask On First.
Is that...
So I'm wondering if they're finally going to address COVID.
Oh, I think they're going to be on a plane.
Oh, maybe.
That was the first thing I thought of.
Yep, that would make more sense.
They're on a plane. I've actually kind of enjoyed the fact that this show hasn't talked about COVID or anything,
yeah,
because so many other shows have.
Yep.
It's kind of nice. It's like, well, I can watch this one show and don't have to see it or relate to it. Unlike, yep, you know, New Amsterdam.
So you want to get into New Amsterdam?
Sure. I mean, that's a hell of a segue. That opening, what, 4 minute was amazing, ooh, wasn't it? 5 minutes, whatever it was.
That was heartbreaking. Like,
yeah, it was.
Brought me right back to the beginning of this, and holy, yep, fuck, it hurt.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, they really got in heavy of from the start of COVID to where we are now, which is them adjusting to the quote unquote. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this episode was called The New Normal because I think that's something we're all adjusting with right now, is the fact that we're all living in what we now would consider the new normal.
Yep. I have to say, both of us had talked, and I was throwing out shows, and I was like, oh, by the way, New Amsterdam's back this week. And I think you had said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to watch it. And I was like, well, I'll watch it, you know.
No, you said New Amsterdam's back, and I went, what the fuck are you talking about? That show got canceled 10 years ago. Like, that was my initial thought. That old show of the guy that was timeless that grew up in New York and like that from Fox. Like, that was that's where my brain went when you said New Amsterdam is back. Like, how screwed up is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll watch it. I'll check it out. You know, it's back. Yeah. It's something else to watch because we lost a couple of shows this week.
Sure.
Wow. Did. At the end of this episode, I was like, now I remember the things that I loved about this show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the episode. I really enjoyed the show. I was very happy with it.
I mean, it's all drama, obviously. And we've often had the complaint that, you know, they can pull everything out of their ass in this hospital. You know, everything always works out, and there's always a million ways for them to succeed. In this case, I kind of liked that for this one, you know, because we got that opening 4-minute montage that was just absolutely heartbreaking and reminded us of where we were a year ago. So it was very timely as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the vaccines are rolling out, you know, in the show and in real life. Things are starting to open up a little bit. And then we get the plane crash, you know, in the river. And all hands on deck and, you know, all the different things that are going on there. And then Max doing his little phone tree thing where he's trying to, you know, this hospital needs this and this one needs this. And he gets them all together so they can do what they need to do. And I actually felt really good about them doing that this week, because it felt like that's what we need right now, is that kind of miracle type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, I agree with it as well. I liked how it worked out because initially it started Max calling around and trying to find it and being like, I don't have that, but I got this. I don't have it, but I got this. And then eventually it did lead to him going, hold on a second, and then conferencing in all these other people and everyone kind of making their swaps. And then in the end, though, Max did get the Plomax or whatever it was he needed.
Yeah.
And then we find out that I can't think of the doctor's name, but the Indian doctor was very methodical. We find out that even though he got the treatment and he's off the ventilator, that the damage might have been too great. And, you know, unless you can get the
possibly new heart.
Yeah. And he's like, well, what can we do? And he's like, well, do you happen to know the greatest, even if he had the greatest heart surgeon in the world, there's no telling that he's going to. And then the phone rings and I actually got a little barked out for it because we have to see him. And I loved how he saw it. I like how that he saw it was Max that was calling and he just said, how can I help?
Exactly. It was just so perfect. Like, such a good callback that I was not expecting. Like, this episode just made me feel so fucking good by the end of it.
Yep. Yeah. I can see why.
So, yeah. This was one of the shows on my list this week that I wasn't expecting much, and I got more than I expected.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ugh. Let's see. What next?
Did you want to talk about Debris? What did you think of that new show that was on?
So my initial worry with Debris was that this was going to be another one of these shows like Manifest or like Lost, where all it is one big mystery that they drag on for too long. Because kind of like you were saying with the unicorn, where the whole purpose of the show is the unicorn. You know, so if he's no longer the unicorn, is it really still the show?
Yeah.
Those shows, you know, Manifest is the first one that comes to mind, but Lost and a few others like that, where the mystery was the driving force. If the mystery is solved, the show goes away. So you've got to keep that mystery going. So that was my first worry with this, you know, that these people are hovering and this thing that's going on. I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to be another one of those where we'll get maybe a season, maybe two, and then they'll cancel it, but we'll never know the ultimate mystery. But what I was surprised to see and pleasantly surprised was that, yes, there is an overarching mystery, but at the same time, it felt like this episode was a self-contained X-Files kind of thing.
Yes. We got the mythology and the story and the monster of the week episode all in one.
Yes. And so if they can continue that, I'm more than happy.
I'm looking forward to what else they do with it. I do like the fact they basically told us from the beginning, this is a joint task force between MI5 and FBI or CIA, whatever. I think it's FBI. And like, what was it, 2 years ago, an alien spaceship was spotted outside the Earth and it or wreckage of one. And then the last 6 months, it's been crashing down on the planet and it's wreaking havoc. And you have people that, like, you have the quote unquote perceived bad guys out looking for the tech to use it for evil purposes. And then you have the quote unquote good guys or the military looking for, you know, the trying to stop the bad guys from getting it. That's the perceived.
Keep it out of the bad guys' hands.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I enjoyed these first episodes.
I really did too because I liked watching them solve the mystery. You know, I liked watching them figure it out. Like, oh, the kid, the little kid, his mom stops the car in the middle of the road because her eye's bleeding, and then she, like, he pulls her out of the car, she starts floating and floats off into the field, and then later on we see the kid again and we start piecing together the mystery. Like I said, it was very X-Files, and I know that there have been other shows like that, but that's always like the go-to. So it was very X-Files in that respect, that by the end they'd solved the mystery of the kid, they contained that debris, and they woke up the dead people. Yay, you know, big win all around. But we still have the underlying mystery where, you know, the quote unquote good guys that he works for are piecing together, you know, from the little bits of debris that they've collected, they're piecing the ship back together.
Yes.
So are they really the good guys? But
And even the two guys that are working together really aren't working together.
Right. Yeah, they're each reporting.
You know, they're keeping things from each other. And it's, you know, this person they keep calling whatever code name they're using, like Glenn Miller or something like that. It's her dad.
Yeah.
So.
And now he knows that her dad is still alive and he was just seen in the country recently, but he can't tell her that. Yeah, which again is an X-Files-y kind of feel, but
oh yeah,
I like it.
I like it too. I would rather see them working together though than have a tension between the two of them.
Yeah,
you know, I'd rather see them like because at the X-Files, the way X-Files started is they were reluctantly working together, but towards the same kind of common goal. But they looked out for each other. They appreciated each other. Yes, they ended up getting to relationship by the end of the 10 seasons, if you will. But I just 9 seasons, and then it doesn't matter. But I'd rather see them work together than have little background tension and distrust between each other.
Right. Yeah. So. And hopefully they'll get that way, kind of like what we've gotten on Resident Alien.
Resident Alien. What a great episode that was this week.
See how I segued right into that?
Yeah. The new doctor finally arrived.
Which I like him as an actor. Doctor.
Yes, I do too. And I liked how Harry reacted, which was, good, I'm glad to be done this so I can go find my device and destroy this planet. But wait a second, I don't want people to like him more than me, and he's not better than me.
Right.
And I love his description of he has a smile that makes me want to punch him in the face and love him at the same time. But yeah, this episode was called Sexy Beast because apparently that's what he thinks mechanics are called.
Yes.
Or referred to as. What did you think of the episode as a whole?
I loved it. I continue to enjoy the hell out of this show. The new doctor, it wasn't like they could have easily spent the entire episode focusing on the new doctor and Harry and watching them be foils for each other. But he just popped up where he needed to, provided a crappy alternate version of Harry and, you know, then went back to doing what he was doing behind the scenes while they worked through their other stuff. I loved listening to Harry tell his wife how he was going to sex her up.
Oh my God. At the end. Yes.
Oh my God. That listening to him just like describe things. And then I will massage your breasts. The left one, especially.
Yeah,
it was just so great. But yeah, it continues to be a very enjoyable show because it's got a million different focuses, but none of them are overdone or undone. You know, him and the kid has resolved itself very nicely. We didn't even see the kid in this episode, if I remember correctly. But the mayor talked about him. You've got Asa, who's dealing with her daughter, but this episode instead she's dealing with her ex now dating somebody else. You know, Harry, on the one hand, wants to be done with the doctor and be done with that stuff in town. But on the other hand, like you said, he kind of has people that he cares about and that's bothering him.
And he doesn't want them to like the new doctor more than they liked him.
Right. Which is
so there's a jealousy factor in there, but he doesn't understand what jealousy is, I think.
Right. Exactly.
My favorite is when he constructed, like, he found the last piece of his ship and he constructed that part and he's like, now I can go reattach this to my ship and then find the device to destroy this planet and then we'll see how much they like him better than me. But wait a second, everybody will be dead. Yep. I need to rethink this plan. Like, I love, like, that reality. Like, we meet the general, Linda Hamilton.
Yes. Yes.
And essentially, we meet her by 50 years ago in Maine. She's a little girl, and her dad are at their cabin. And then they hear something outside, and they go outside, and she's taking pictures with a Polaroid camera looking up. But we don't see what she's looking at. And we don't get any other context to who this is until we meet the general at the – then we meet the general later. We meet the two people working for her off the books to find the spacecraft and find the alien. Mm-hmm. The guy's math leads them to where they think the ship should be, but it's not there in New Mexico. And of course, it's because it's cloaked and invisible. And when she throws something, because it's junk, this device, and it hits the ship. So he uses a extinguisher to spray on it so they can see it. And then when they bring the general into the hangar where it is, they basically put on a black light so they can see the ship. And then the general takes a Polaroid photo out of her pocket and looks at it and holds it up so she can see what's on the photo and see the ship. And she has this big, like, I finally found it moment.
Right.
You know, from when she was a little girl. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then they go put eyes on the crash site. And, of course, Harry shows up at the end. And the big cliffhanger at the end of the episode is him saying, like, go and take him in custody. Find out who he is. If you resist, shoot him. So they don't know he's the alien, but they know he's where the ship was.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was fun. There was humor in this. There was good messages about spousal abuse. Yep. Or you know.
Yeah.
About you know being in an abusive relationship and knowing that hey it's not okay. Yeah, I really enjoyed the episode. I really enjoy the show.
I was going to say, we keep saying how much we enjoy the show, and it hasn't disappointed yet.
It really hasn't.
It's the greatest show ever? No, not at all.
God, no.
But
no.
It's great.
Yes. And Alan Tudyk. Come on, Alan Tudyk.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Alan Tudyk is the man.
He is the man.
Plain and simple. He's just fun.
He is.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy him in every role that I see him in.
Me too. Me too. Well,
that's all I've got to say about that.
That's kind of all I got to say about that. The Connors, and it continues to be good. It's really all I got to say about that. Zoe wasn't on. This Is Us wasn't on. Are they on hiatuses again? Is this 2 weeks in a row that Zoe wasn't on?
Yes.
Let's see.
While you're doing that, Prodigal Son was very good. They just introduced two new characters in Catherine Zeta-Jones and Alan Cumming. Really looking forward to his character. Catherine Zeta-Jones, okay. But Alan Cumming's character is so far.
I haven't liked Catherine Zeta-Jones since the fucking movie Traffic, the constant trailer that was on the Real Players tape at the gallery. Yeah. And she would talk about, what if I was 5 or 6 months pregnant? And then they'd cut to, get out of the car and shoot him in the head. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Catherine Zeta-Jones. No one likes her. Well, obviously someone does, but I don't. Zoe's not coming back till March 28th.
Okay.
They haven't had an episode on it in 4 weeks.
I would not have recognized Catherine Zeta-Jones if they hadn't said in the beginning, it's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
What if she had on a tight leather pants and was sliding through laser wires?
No, she's had a lot of work done, I can tell.
Well, she's got to be a lot older by now. I'm commenting about movies from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, she's Welsh.
Oh, is
she? Oh, yeah. Look at that. That is a lot of plastic surgery. Holy cow.
Yeah. Like I said, I wouldn't have recognized her.
Wow. If you put a then and now side by each. If you just look up Catherine then and now, she doesn't look like her anymore.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that she's had some work. It's like if you do Carl Weathers then and now, whew, he doesn't have a mustache. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
Young Rock. What'd you think of that?
You know, it's a good show. Again, it really does depict the reality of wrestling as far as, like, you know, his grandmother's trying to run their territory in Hawaii. She gets to use, she's using all these wrestlers that are contracted to the WWE, but then they have their monthly Madison Square Garden show, and, oh, I can't use your guy. I need my guys back, but I'll let you have your family, like The Rock, you know, Rocky Johnson and the Wild Samoans, and Rocky Johnson's actually insulted by it because, like, well, why wasn't I on the Garden show?
Right.
Reality of it, because the in the 70s and 80s, especially with wrestling, your spot was important. That's why wrestlers wrestled sick. They wrestled injured, because if they gave up their spot, then maybe they don't get their position back in the company, because the promoter wants the person there who's going to make the money then and there.
Right.
That's why it's almost better today, because today health and safety is taken in a higher regard, especially when it comes to injuries and concussions and things of that nature. And guys aren't losing their spots because they're out with an injury like they used to. But yeah, and the big thing about wrestlers back then is they were on the constant hustle to get their name out there, to get their name bigger, to get more recognition. So it was totally believable in that aspect. The other aspect of the rival promoter trying to steal away her wrestlers and run shows at the same time and offer the wrestlers more money to work just for them, that's completely believable as well. That's exactly the type of stuff that happened.
Yeah.
The more and more I watched this. Yes. No, I have no idea. I will say this, though. The more I watch the show, the more I wonder if this really is a pre-campaign thing for The Rock, because he's legit going to run in 2032.
It's entirely possible.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, quite frankly.
Yeah, why not? I know that there was talk about it before this campaign, before this election.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a year before he had kind of tossed around the idea. So it could entirely be that.
Yeah. Yeah, again, wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see what he did. Yeah. Or what he does.
Right. Oh, good show, though. I'm enjoying it. Like I said, you know, I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I enjoy it quite a bit.
We got the finale of WandaVision to talk about.
And we've also got the two DC superhero shows that we watched.
Okay, so let's just start with The Flash. That's back. Don't think I'm going to keep watching it.
They really dragged their feet on this episode, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't get into it. Realistically, I tried, you know, I watched it. I just didn't care about it. Like, I just didn't care. I didn't care that Barry, I knew by the end of the episode, Barry would have his speed back.
Of course he would.
The only good part of the episode for me, or the emotional part, is when Nash, you know, basically sacrificed himself so that they could create this artificial speed force to get Barry back his speed.
Right.
And it was probably like, are we actually saying goodbye to Wells? You know what I mean?
And my guess is no, because basically, they created the artificial speed force by using the multiverse particles of Nash that contained the essence of all the Wells. So my guess is that we're going to have the Wellses inside the artificial speed force playing the part of the speed force consciousness.
Okay. Fair enough. But otherwise, I don't know. I just...
It was showing its age, for one thing. The show was, because everything felt very dark. Like, the lighting was very dark. We were missing some of the key characters, like Cisco wasn't there, and Caitlin wasn't there, and Joe was barely there at all.
Yeah.
And they brought back the original Mirror Master for 3 seconds before he was killed by the new Mirror Master, who said, oh, he was one of my original creations all along. He was never the Mirror Master. I'm the Mirror Master. And then we got Top introducing Cecile to her new powers. Oh, I was an empath, and now look what I can do. So now Cecile does the same thing because, you know, that's all she needed was somebody to just say, oh, you could actually do this. She goes, oh, really? Okay. Now I'm a master of it.
Yep. Yeah.
Which really pissed me off.
Superman and Lois. I really dug the pilot episode.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I was excited about it. And then I watched this episode and not so much.
Yep. Yep. I went exactly where we thought they were going to go.
The teen drama. I think I'm just too old for the teen drama. I think maybe that's what it is. You know, I think I'm outside of their key demographic. Of the teen drama.
It's entirely possible. I've been saying that for a while, and I think you're finally catching up to me.
Yeah, I think I'm just, don't care about, like, you know, the troubles and strife that his kids have in school, because I'm just like, it's the stereotypical, we already got a quarterback. We don't need you as a quarterback. We're not even going to let you try to prove yourself. We're just going to, you know. Okay,
of course, we're
whatever.
We're all going to turn on you because your brother kissed my girlfriend, so we're all going to, as a team, be dicks to you.
You know, and I like how even the Jordan says to her, like, why are you with him? What do you see in him? You don't seem like you want to be with him. She's basically like, ooh.
Stereotypical response, which is everything in the show is stereotypical, the stereotypical response of, well, he can be really nice.
Yeah. No, he's an asshole.
You just don't know
Captain
him like
Luther.
I do.
Yeah. The Captain Luther, you know, basically his storyline is, well, on my planet, where, you know, I was Luther, a black man who's bald, even though on this planet, this universe, this, you know, multiverse world, the Luther here was a skinny white guy who had hair. obviously, this is going to be the same thing's going to happen here, happen on my world. So I'm here to stop you, Superman, because my Superman was evil and turned on us, which means you're going to. So that's my justification. No, that I don't even care. Like, that's bullshit. That's lazy writing. That's.
And considering that Lois's dad and Superman both looked identical in the other universe.
Yes.
It is a little bit odd that Luther would be a completely different person.
Yeah, and this Luther was Captain Luther was best friends with General Lance, General Lane, and they worked together against the Superman that was evil. And I just
and now current General Lane has doubt in his head because of this one medallion that has Superman's crest on it, and then on the back has 7734, which if you flip it upside down says hell.
Yeah, I just.
It's exactly what we thought was the multiverse angle, and this is how they can bring in a Luther that's not John Cryer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I hated it as much as you did, but I genuinely put it on in the background and then was like, I don't need to be seeing all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course we find out that Lane's been, like, General Lane's been stockpiling all the kryptonite on the planet because he, in his way, it's because he wants to keep it out of the hands of anyone that can use it against Superman, his son-in-law.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that makes sense. So, like, okay, all right, but then at the same time, all this shit that can kill Superman's in one place, someone's going to get a break in there at some point.
Oh, and we also found out that Jordan is, He's got superpowers, but they're pretty weak and they can't be replicated. And the I-beam was probably just a fluke and allegedly,
No, we're going to find that's not true. I'll watch episode 3 most likely, but man, what a turn down for me from the first episode of this season to this one.
And I was
a downward,
that was
whatever you want to use to describe it. Yeah, me too.
I wasn't like rooting for it, but we've seen that happen so many times lately where you get a pilot that's really strong and really good and you really enjoy it. And then the next thing you know, they're like, oh, and if you like that, look how we completely changed it. Because what happens is just like with state government, somebody goes, well, that was really good. Here are a few notes. And then they have to change this and they have to change that. What if we did this? What if we did this?
Yeah. Well, I think we'll see if episode two of Debris is any better.
Right.
So
I think that's it for shows other than the WandaVision finale.
Alrighty. I watched three movies.
As did I.
I watched Magnum Force, which is the sequel to the first Dirty Harry sequel, if you will.
Right.
Just because I hadn't seen it ever. I liked it. I'm going to probably try to watch all the Dirty Harry movies just because I haven't watched them all before. I've watched the first one more than once, but I haven't seen all of the other ones. So I was like, seems like a good series to watch slowly.
Yeah.
My buddy Brandon is watching one Star Wars movie a month type of thing. He set himself up slow. He's going to spread it out through the year. Not Star Wars, Star Trek. Star Trek. One Star Trek movie a month.
Gotcha.
What'd you watch for a movie?
I watched Boss Level.
You did end up watching Boss Level.
I did.
And how is it?
Eh.
Oh, really?
I mean, it wasn't bad, but I feel like it didn't It didn't really know where it was going or what it wanted to do. It was kind of odd. Like,
that's too bad. I mean,
the opening scene is him explaining that he's done this like 130 times or something like that. And occasionally we do get numbers on the screen that'll tell you what attempt number you're looking at. So it'll be like, you know, attempt 97 or attempt 140 in progress, like a video game.
Yeah.
some of the mini bosses that he fought were, you know, unique and funny in their representation. One of them, though, the swords woman was way overdone. Like, she had a catchphrase and they used it over and over and over again to the point where, you know, a couple of times it was funny. After that, it was like, okay, now it's just tedious. Sorry, I was choking a little bit.
That's okay. Hopefully you're okay.
Oh, yeah. Just popcorn kernel. So, it, like, I don't know. I think part of the problem was that it's only an hour and a half, and we jump in with him already going through the loop, but not knowing why, and not knowing what's going on, and, you know, he learns a little bit more as we go through the movie. Like, he'll learn a bit more, which then affects the next couple of loops, and then he'll learn a little bit more, which affects the next couple of loops. And by learn a little bit more, I mean he's, like, unraveling the mystery of what's going on.
Okay. And
so that kind of stuff was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But nothing ever, like, really clicked. And they kind of left it not on a cliffhanger, but on, like, a kind of an open ending. So, I don't know. Again, it wasn't bad, but it was not as exciting. I wasn't, like, as thrilled at the end of it as I thought I was going to be. So I definitely think you should check it out.
Yeah, I will. But now I'm, like, less eager.
Yeah. Well, maybe this way you'll enjoy it more. You know, kind of like the opposite of if I was like, sure. Oh, dude, it's so good. And then I oversell it and you don't like it as much. So we'll see.
Well, on Saturday, Wesley asked if we could have a family movie night. So Kate asked him, do you want to watch something cartoon or live action? He said cartoon. And she said, let's watch Up because I've heard a lot of good stuff about it and I've never seen it. And I'm like, you've never seen Up? She's like, no. So we watched Up. And
so she cried.
Oh my God. Like that, you know, that the most heartbreaking opening of any animated movie ever, or almost any movie ever.
I was going to say the most heartbreaking scene, and it's right in the beginning.
Yeah. And she's just like, she was like, this is so sad. Why do people like this movie? but no, we watched it, of course. It's a great flick. It's a great flick. Yeah. And then we watched, there's a short on Disney, because we watched it on Disney Plus. And there's a short on Disney Plus with the dog Doug. And it's actually, it's Doug's secret mission. And it's kind of like a part of the movie that we don't get to see, almost like a deleted scene that leads up to the Doug's pack getting pissed at him and sending him off on his own. And then him finding them. And that's it. Just, so it's a little 5-minute short that was actually quite enjoyable and funny. What was another movie you watched?
I watched I Care a Lot.
How's that? I almost started it several times since it came up, since it got posted on Netflix.
Well, I had two different people, one of them being a boss at work and one of them being another boss at work, who both asked me. They were like, oh, have you seen this movie? And I was like, no, I haven't yet. And they're like, you should check it out. Now, I don't really take their word, you know, yeah. They don't have good taste, but I thought, well, I wanted to check it out anyway. So I checked it out. It was great.
Okay.
I genuinely enjoyed a lot of it. It was quite well done. It was intriguing. The dialogue was good. The action scenes were good. It flowed well. I really dug it.
All right. Well, so I'll tell you. Because I was super excited to see Boss Level, and not as excited to see I Care a Lot. Like, I watched the trailer, but I was like, yeah, it looks good, but I was really on the fence about it. So now it's funny that, yeah.
Yeah. You had the basic concept for everybody who's listening who hasn't seen it is that, and I keep wanting to call her Rose Byrne, but it's not. But basically, she plays a woman who she's a scam artist, essentially, and she runs a business where she has people that work with her, you know, guys at retirement homes, and she has an assistant and different people to keep an eye out for, where she takes elderly people and she becomes their power of attorney. You know, she takes over their
estate. Oh, yeah, no.
And then she kind of sells off their stuff and takes them for everything that they've got going. So that's it in a nutshell. It's great. I really enjoyed it. What's the last movie you watched, Mike?
Coming to the number two, America.
Hey, I watched that one as well.
And this is my brief one sentence description. It is both awesome and awful. What did you think?
I thought that it was both awful and a waste of my time. Tell me what you found awesome about it.
Okay, so what I liked about it was essentially everything throwback.
Yes.
Everything that was an homage to the original, because I haven't watched the original one in a few years, but when I watched it as a teenager all the time, this was one of the movies that I had watched on repeat, kind of. Like, I watched this an excessive amount because we owned it on VHS.
Yep.
Or we taped it on HBO or something. So I watched this movie a ton, and there's so many great moments. So one of the things I liked about Coming to America, the sequel, was all the throwbacks to the original. But
not just the original.
I'd rather just watch the original. Not the original, the first one. Sorry, it's not. I keep saying the original like it's a remake. It's not a remake. It's a sequel. Well, so the throwbacks to the first
one. But I wanted to say, like, they even had that one scene when his son is going for the job, and the guy behind the desk is like, you know, oh, this place was founded by my father's or my grandfather's or business partners, and it was the guys from Trading Places.
Well, yeah, but they had a cameo in Coming to America.
Right, right. I love that they keep that world interconnected.
I love that as well. Yes, I love that it was now that, like, the Trading Places movie had the little cameo Coming to America, and now they have the cameo in Coming to America.
Because in Coming to America, they were the bums of the street. They were given the money, and now...
And so they could start over again, and yes, they started over again, and now... Yeah. Mortimer, we're back! They always reminded me of Waldorf and Statler from The Muppet Show.
Yep.
So, no, I like that, but he, you know, so I like, but if I want to see Randy Watson sing, I'll just go watch the first one. You know, if I want to see Arsenio Hall's Preacher, I'll watch the first. Basically, that's my takeaway. It was kind of cool seeing those characters, seeing them play those characters again, you know, seeing the rapping twins. You know, my name is Peaches, and I'm the best. And we actually see them at the end of the movie again. Sorry, big spoiler, everybody. But the storyline was so, like, the second he met his hairstylist, I'm like, okay, that's his love interest. And it just,
Oh, God. For me, it was even worse than that. Like, the whole fact that we had Leslie Jones and what's his name there?
Tracy Morgan.
Thank you, Tracy Morgan. As the parents, I'm like, oh boy, they really went over the top on this one. And these two are going to be the quintessential Queens people. I especially didn't like the fact that the whole purpose of the first movie was that he went to Queens not just because he wanted to pick his own wife, but because he was tired of all the traditions of Zamunda.
Yeah.
And that was even a thing at the end. Remember when she said, you know, you're the king, you can change the rules. And so that was supposed to be the thing, that Akeem was going to now usher in a new era for Zamunda. Well, here it is 30 years later, and it's the exact same. Like, yeah. 100% the same. And he's even saying, well, this is the way it's got to be. So you're telling me that literally nothing changed in those 30 years, even though Lisa was there,
yeah,
who encouraged him to change and be better. Even though he has three daughters that all wanted him to change and change the rules.
Yeah.
Like, how did 30 years go by and nothing changed? They basically undid the lessons of the first movie in order to make the second one.
Yeah.
And that right there just pissed me right off. Especially, you know, by the end, they still had to make sure that there was a male heir. You know, the hairstylist, like you said, she was like, oh, women are not allowed to own businesses in Zamunda. Seriously? Lisa didn't help make that change immediately when she got there? No, they opened a McDowell's there, but they didn't change it so that they could own businesses? That's ridiculous.
But by the end of it, they did, you know, he did say that you know, his oldest daughter was going to be the heir. That's what was going to happen. So, I mean, like, at the end, he did make changes. But you're right. I know exactly what you're saying. For 30 years, no changes were made. Nothing happened. Nothing advanced or changed anything. So, yes, I do get what you're saying. And, yeah.
And some might say, he was only the prince, so he couldn't affect those changes. Bullshit, he couldn't affect those changes. Yeah.
I would go watch Coming to America 1988 before I'd watch Coming the Number Two America again.
Hell yeah. I wish that they could have gotten Sam Jackson to come back in.
That would have been funny.
I mean, they flash back to him when she was telling the story of Akeem going to America, but...
Yes.
Well, that's it for movies for me.
Same here.
Had a couple of trailers that I sent you.
Yeah.
Animated series on Netflix called Dota, Dragon's Blood. Dota is Defense of the Ancients. It was a mod that somebody created a while back for Warcraft that spawned into its own game genre and it's become very popular in League play. But it looks like a nice anime.
Yep.
Thunder Force looks hilarious, which is basically Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer as superheroes.
Yeah, it does look good, but they're superheroes not born that way, but created through science.
Yep.
In the trailer, and that's what the trailer tells
us. Both of them are hilarious people, so that'll be fun. Without Remorse, coming to Prime Video, the next Tom Clancy thing with Michael B. Jordan.
What's yeah, that looks real good. That looks like a great action flick with a guy whose family's been killed, so he has nothing left to live for, so he's going to be an unstoppable machine of a killer. Yeah, he's behind that.
I was hoping it was going to be a TV series rather than a movie, but I'll still get behind a movie.
Yep.
And then I hate to even bring it up, but I sent you a trailer tonight right before the podcast for the CW is rebooting Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Modern day, the girl is the main character.
Which I don't have a problem with.
No, not at all. Nope. What I have a problem with, as I told you earlier, is the fact that, you know, it seems to take place in one area, so it's not a wandering monk. It's one city, and she's got teenage drama, she's got family drama, she's got boy drama. It's just going to be drama, 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 because it's the CW, and that's what they do. So it doesn't look good to me.
No, it doesn't look good to me at all. And I have no interest in watching it.
Yep. So now that we've decided on that.
Yep. I got a couple news things.
Okay. I've got a few as well.
I shared with you that for whatever reason, they cut Ruby Rose as Batwoman out of the crossover.
Yeah.
Like the scene, not the whole thing, but like the scene at the end where all the superheroes are standing together, they the big like kind of pose photo, they edited her out.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't just edit her out, like they squished everybody in together afterwards.
Yeah. So. And then their Pepe Le Pew by Warner Brothers has been deleted from the Space Jam movie and has been shelved and will no longer be used in all any future projects.
Yeah. Pepe Le Pew was canceled.
Yeah, basically that's exactly what it is. He's been canceled, cultured. Culture canceled, whatever you want to call it.
And part of me gets it, because if you look at his character was nothing but one note of sexually assaulting a cat.
Yeah, yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, he was the definition of no doesn't mean no.
Right.
But, I mean, they could have... There's a lot of controversy going on around Space Jam right now. Did you see the whole Lola Bunny thing?
No.
Basically, they're introducing a different... Like, she looks different. She's got brown fur now instead of gray. But the thing that everybody's getting really pissed about is the fact that they decided to desexualize her. Which is fine, whatever. So they put her in looser-fitting clothing, but they also gave her massively thick thighs because she's athletic, and they took away her breasts. So people are pissed. Some people are pissed because they're perverts, but other people are pissed because they're like, why is it that when you want to desexualize a woman, you take away her breasts? Like, that's not what makes a woman a woman. That's not what makes her a sex symbol. You know, you were putting her in skimpy outfits before, and... So it's this whole thing. I think this Space Jam is going to be more controversial than anything, and they never should have done it in the first place anyway. But I think they're just kicking themselves in the ass over and over again over this.
Yeah, I didn't know that's what they were doing to her, and it's a cartoon, people, but whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What else you got for news?
That was my two news bits.
Okay. Superman and Lois has already been renewed for season 2.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. Not anymore. I can't believe this. I cannot believe that I'm saying this.
Okay.
But I thought Zack Snyder's gall had gone as far as it could. But now he's upped his gall game. Now his fucking pièce de résistance of this fucking Snyder cut, this 4-hour travesty, has chapters. And the chapters have titles.
Sure.
So chapter 1 is called Don't Count on It, Batman. Chapter 2 is called The Age of Heroes. Chapter 3 is called Beloved Mother, Beloved Son. Chapter 4 is called, and this is the only one that's in quotes, Change Machine. Chapter 5 is called All the King's Horses. And Chapter 6 is called Something Darker.
That sounds douchey.
It sounds incredibly douchey. I fucking can't stand this guy. I don't want to say hate, because that's a really strong word, and I feel that, you know, that should be reserved for people like Trump. But I do not like Zack Snyder. I do not like the way that he thinks he is better than everybody else, that his decisions are always the right ones. He drives me insane. He's a douche. He's like a quintessential douche.
Yeah, he is a douche. He's a big old douche, plain and simple. Still going to watch.
I don't want to watch it, but you're making us watch it.
Yeah.
This is interesting. This was from a couple of days, March 5th, so 3 days ago. The CW announced today that Superman and Lois will take a hiatus after its 5th episode airs at the end of the month, clearing a path for Supergirl to have its final season premiere while Superman and Lois's post-production team catches up following a COVID-19-related shutdown.
Yeah.
Production clear.
That doesn't surprise me then.
Yep. So basically on March 23rd, we're going to get an episode called The Best of Smallville, and then it'll take a break until May 18th when it will return to complete its first season. Supergirl, in the meantime, will run its final season in its place.
Well, that's another thing about Superman that pisses me off is Lana Lang's husband.
Oh, my God.
Who's just like, what's the guy's name? Max Caster, Max Power.
Something like that.
Max Headroom, whatever. He's creating jobs. We need jobs now. Yeah, but he's not. He's lied in the past. Like, Lois presents him with a plethora of facts about what he's done in the past to fuck over all these towns. And he's like, yeah, well, sometimes you got to. But he just, this guy just vehemently defends, you know, him. And is just blind to any facts. He's MAGA. Yeah. That's all.
I was going to say, he really felt like a Make Smallville Great Again.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Keep going with your news.
I got one left. This is interesting. The Devil's Hour is coming soon to Amazon Prime Video. The streaming service has ordered a new creepy thriller series from Stephen Moffat, the man behind Doctor Who and Sherlock.
Yeah.
The Devil's Hour is a UK original that tells the story of a woman who wakes up every night at exactly 3:33 a.m. in the middle of the so-called Devil's Hour between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. Lucy Chambers' 8-year-old son is withdrawn and emotionless. Her mother speaks to empty chairs. Her house is haunted by the echoes of a life that isn't her own. Now, when her name is inexplicably connected to a string of brutal murders in the area, the answers that have evaded her all these years will finally come into focus.
I thought it was going to be more like when I hear The Devil's Hour, like a anthology series.
Yeah.
But I'll check it out.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat. I mean, he wrote good for Doctor Who. He wasn't a great director, but...
Yeah, I'll watch it.
That's it for me for news.
Okay. So we just got WandaVision to talk about then.
WandaVision.
Well, that being said, if you don't want to hear about WandaVision, then we bid you adieu. But if you do want to hear about WandaVision, well, it's the series finale is the name of the episode, which is hilarious. I love how they titled these episodes.
Absolutely. When I saw that, I was like, classic.
They really wrapped up things quite well, don't you think?
Quite succinctly.
What did you think of this episode as a whole?
I really liked it. Some people out there did not like it because I think a lot of people out there were expecting more twists and turns. They were expecting more big reveals than they got. And so they were kind of disappointed. Nobody ever said that there were going to be big twists and turns.
That does to me sounds like people setting themselves up for disappointment.
Yeah. The one big twist that I found hilarious was a troll all along, and that was that early on Paul Bettany said that there was a special surprise cameo at the end of the series that was going to blow people's mind. Big star surprise cameo. It was himself as White Vision.
Yes it was. I thought that was funny.
Loved it. He was trolling everybody all along.
I liked how we saw how they explained Petro being there. Yep. That it was some actor named Ralph Boner.
Boner.
Yeah. That was under Agatha's spell.
Yep.
So basically this episode, I know I say that a lot, but anyways, it's the fight between Agatha and Wanda, with Agatha trying to steal Wanda's powers because she's the cure chaos magic. And then we see White Vision, and as they call it on Wikipedia, conditional vision, we see Wanda's vision and we see White Vision, and they fight each other.
Yep.
Till they stop and have a nice logical conversation. I thought it was nice. And then WandaVision,
it was not just nice. I loved that it was actually the ship of Theseus. The philosophical debate. Oh, it was so good. It was so perfect for that, too.
Are you familiar with the ship of Theseus? Of course I am. Okay, well, if you replace all the boards on the ship because they rot out, is it still the ship?
And if you take all those replaced boards and you clean the shit off them and you reassemble it over here, is that now the ship of Theseus?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting there going, no, it's not the ship, but yes, it's the ship. Wow, this is great.
Yeah.
And then when Wanda's vision helps White Vision, like, you know, he touches where the Mind Stone would be and gives him, you know, not gives him his memories, but unlocks the memories that yep. They've locked away from him. It's like, now he remembers everything. He flies off. We're going to see that character again. Like, that character's not done.
We sure are. Did you notice, too, that he had all of the Vision's powers despite not having the Mind Stone?
Yes, I did notice that. Yeah.
Super strength, the beam, he could fly, he could phase.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
What did you think of that?
Actually, we've got Vision out there with unlocked memories, but is he going to be the one that loves Wanda, or is he going to be one that just is aware of himself, like at the end of Age of Ultron?
And it's also interesting to me that we see Monica, you know, she uses her powers to make Ralph Boner see who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't really use her powers out again. Like, I thought for sure we'd get to see her unleash her powers against Agatha to help Wanda.
Well, I mean, she kind of did when she tried to protect the boys and the bullets like hit her and kind of slowed down and charged her up.
Yes.
Which was, you know, a nice nod to the whole she absorbs energy and redirects it like Bishop does.
Yes. Yeah. But that was to stop the director of S.W.O.R.D.
Yes.
And we never addressed where the footage came from that he showed Monica of Wanda stealing Vision's body. Clearly that was doctored, but they didn't really address it or talk about it again. It's just assumed that we all know now, oh, wait, he's a bad guy who's going to go to jail for some reason and get arrested.
And as far as Monica not using her powers, I kind of liked it because I feel like this wasn't her show.
Right.
Like, this is her origin, but it's not her story. So,
sure.
You know, and we got that nod in one of the PSs at the end.
Yes.
That, you know, she's coming back for Captain Marvel 2/ Secret Wars.
Yes, you know, where the Skrull showed up and it was like, you know, a friend of your mother wants to talk to you. We've heard you've been grounded. You know, that was cool as shit.
Yeah, going to take her up in space, going to get into the Secret Wars. Yeah. Oh,
so,
that's going to be exciting.
So Agatha unveils the Darkhold to Wanda.
Yeah, big name drop there.
That was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was absolutely huge.
Which everybody's now scrambling to find out if, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still canon for this. And even the guy who played Robbie Reyes weighed in on Twitter about it. So that was cool.
And basically shows her in the Darkhold, you know, that Scarlet Witch is who has the chaos magic is, it basically kind of says this is how the Scarlet Witch was created and how she's going to appear and come.
More powerful.
So
than
she
the
convinces
Force
Wanda.
Supreme.
Yes, that's right. She convinces Wanda to close the hex. And as she's opening the hex to let everyone run out because Agatha has basically turned their mind off so they can be themselves. And they're like, please, you have to help us. Let us go or just kill us either way.
Which was really cool, too. That was some psychological warfare.
So she's opening the hex to let everybody out. And then she sees her kids and Vision basically disintegrating. And she closes the hex again. Is that when she put the runes on?
No.
Like, when did she put the runes on?
When they were both flying through the sky fighting each other, because you notice that, like, she kept flinging bolts, and sometimes they'd hit Agatha, and sometimes they'd go way
okay,
wide.
That makes sense, then. All right, that makes sense.
I was like, what is she doing? Because it's almost like she's missing on purpose. And
okay, yeah. And so then when Agatha thinks that she's drawn out all her powers and she's going to cripple everything, and then Wanda's like, oh, by the way, I have my magic. Oh, by the way, I'm taking your magic.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to make you forget who you are. I'm going to make you be the person you wanted to be, Agnes, the nosy neighbor.
Yep.
And Agatha's basically like, you can't do this. You don't know what you're causing to have happen or what you're unleashing. So we get that warning. Yeah, but then, you know, Vision and Wanda and the kids go back to the house. They put the kids to bed, and Vision's basically like, hey, I know we gotta end this. But what am I? And Wanda's like, you're the piece of the Mind Stone that's in me. So that's how they explained how she was able to create Vision and her grief and everything. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. It's sad that her kids are gone, and it's sad that this Vision's gone. But we do have the other Vision out there, the white Vision, if you will.
Yes. We got her new kick-ass outfit.
Yes, yes. Yep, that was awesome.
And I like that all the people in the town hate her.
Yes.
You know, well, and Monica even talked about that. And she's like, you know, they hate me. And she's like, oh, well, they'll get over it. No. Not after what
she says they'll never know what you sacrificed for them.
Yeah.
And she goes, doesn't matter, though. So she leaves.
Yep. She flies off. And that's when Monica gets called in, you know, to the theater by the Skrull woman.
But we see Jimmy Woo show up with the FBI, and we see kind of like he's taking charge, and Monica's like, hey, I like you in charge. And he's like, I like being in charge. I want to see more of Jimmy. I hope we see more of him.
And Darcy.
We got Hayward's arrested, but they don't explain as to why all of a sudden, like, they determine that he's a bad guy in this. I mean, we kind of saw it, but we didn't get the typical, like, we didn't get his big reveal of what his ultimate plan was, or why he doctored the footage, or who else was working for him, or, you know, why he hated Wanda so badly.
Right.
We didn't get any of that explained. What did you think of the end where Wanda's at the cabin? And we see her walking around the cabin, and then in the back, her, you know, her astral form, I guess, is going, studying the Darkhold and doing everything kind of like what we've seen Doctor Strange do in the past.
Yep.
And then we hear her kids crying out, Mom, before we go end the episode.
Yeah. So the only one thing that they've told us over and over again is that WandaVision was designed to set up Wanda for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I thought we were going to see Doctor Strange in this, quite frankly.
I was thinking that as well, at least, you know, to show up because of all the magic that was flinging around, even if it was a cameo or a PS or something. If we go by the comics, the Darkhold is fucking fiercely evil. Like, they downplayed it seriously in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, that book has been around since before time immemorial. You know, one of the elder C'Thunian fucking evil gods created it. Doctor Strange has fought that book. There was a group of heroes that actually formed because at one point the pages were all scattered, and they went around hunting the pages to stop evil. Fucking Cletus Cassidy has been using the book recently. So
that's Carnage, folks.
Yes. Sorry. So I think that scene right there was good to show us, like you said, that she's doing the Doctor Strange kind of thing, but she's studying a very evil book. Hearing her kids cry out, they could be going the multiverse aspect of it, you know, that they're just her kids from a different parallel universe, or they could be doing that whole thing where, you know, fragments of Mephisto's soul were broken off to create them.
Sure. Yeah.
Or something completely different.
Yeah. Or she could just be remembering. As a whole, what did you think of the series? The whole nine episodes.
The whole nine episodes I thought were great.
Me too.
Yes, I had a lot of speculation and I had a lot of theories. And then, you know, they kind of, I don't want to say dashed them to bits, but they never came to fruition. And I'm okay with that, because essentially what this was this was a long movie. You know, these were half-hour episodes. There were nine of them, so we got a four-and-a-half-hour movie, which is way better than the Snyder Cut, and I've never watched the Snyder Cut. But I feel confident in saying that this is way better. But we got a long movie. and we got the story of her dealing with grief and loss and depression and anger and fear. Very human emotions for somebody who, for all intents and purposes, was very human.
Yes.
And, you know, had these powers since she was a child, didn't realize it, thought she just got powers bestowed upon her by an experiment, which then turned it out to be the Mind Stone. So we got a very human story here. You know, it was very sad watching the walls close in around them at the end and knowing that her kids and Vision were going to disappear and she'd be without them all over again. You actually felt for her at the end.
Oh, so, yeah, you did.
So I felt that this was very enjoyable. It was very well done. And I don't care that there wasn't a lot of, you know, ultimate mystery and twists and turns like everybody was expecting. I think it turned out great.
See, for me, what Disney created with this, and realistically for me, what they've done with the first two seasons of The Mandalorian, is they've created must-see television. They've created a show that comes out once a week, and it makes me want to watch that show immediately when I can, when it comes out. I kind of wish, and I think you and I have talked about this, and I know I've talked about this with others, I kind of wish they didn't make it available at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. I wish they kind of made it available at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know? But they've made destination must-see television with The Mandalorian and with WandaVision, and then not this week, but the week after when Falcon and the Winter Soldier make their appearance, make their debut. So, yeah. All in all, beginning to end, 9 episodes. I really, really enjoyed it. I looked forward to watching each episode each week. I can't say it was, oh my God, it was so amazing. I was blown away. It's one of the greatest things of all time. I can't say that because it's simply not true.
Right.
It was excellent, though. They did a phenomenal job with it. They made me look forward to watching it every week or looking forward to wanting to watch it every week. And you know, I can't wait for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you know, and I can't wait to see when we see Wanda again and how her story continues.
Yep. I agree completely.
So, well, if you nothing else, sir, I guess that'd be the show.
That would be the show. I've got nothing else on me.
Well, on the Twitter, I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
We'll talk to you next week.
We sure will.